Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the second installment of the International Black Summit Interview with Summit Leaders. This is your host, Lenar, and I am so happy to have with me this evening my good friend, Ms. Lorraine Warren. She is a truly phenomenal person. Let me tell you about something about Miss Lorraine. The girl is so deep, she has her own folder on my computer. She is in a class of her own. Lorraine has an extensive resume. She is a multi-talented woman who was a consultant and educator with more than 15 years of experience working with a wide range of groups, both nationally and internationally. Such as Legacy International, Operations Crossroads Africa, Institute for Shipboard Education, Darden Restaurants, Rutgers University, the Fetzer Institute, World Horizons International, and just last year, she facilitated a workshop with dignitaries from around the world, which included Desmond Tutu's daughter. Last year, in December, I believe, or late November, Lorraine was interviewed by Maya Angelou for an upcoming radio show. Yes, I know I'm name-dropping. Don't be a player hater. Lorraine is joining us live from Tallahassee, Florida. Good evening, my friend, and welcome.
Hello, Lenar. Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, you're welcome, and this is the International Black Summit.
Yes.
So, because I do have my own show.
Yes.
which you are scheduled to be a guest January 30th, but, and that will be a different topic. Lorraine is very well versed in the Know Out There conversation, but for tonight, we're going to be talking with Lorraine about her experience with the International Black Summit. So, Lorraine, before we begin, is there more that you would like to say by way of introducing yourself?
Well, I thank you for the introduction, and I wanted to say when you asked me to be on this show or when I responded to the email, I was very excited because anyone who knows me know how much I love the International Black Summit. And, you know, before we start, I really would like to express my gratitude and appreciation to the International Black Summit. I'm just thinking about all of the people over the years, all of the different faces, all of the profound conversations we've had that were life-changing for me. And so I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity to be a part of that whole experience and that I am a part of that experience. And I think the International Black Summit for me was just such a profound experience. It was a reminder of how beautiful, soulful, and spiritual people of African descent are, and that's me. So
beautiful and soulful.
And it's wonderful that we have the International Black Summit talk show. So I acknowledge also whoever and all of the people, you, Lenar, I know John Thomas, all of the people who had anything to do with manifesting this and making this happen, thank you. It's awesome.
You're welcome. And I want to mention one of your friends and, you all are in the school together.
Classmate.
At USM.
Takesha.
Takesha, yes. Mm-hmm. She's the one who told me about Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes. So
give a shout-out to Takesha. I love her, too.
Right, and I hope she's listening. Oh, mm-hmm. By the way, Takesha, I hope your mother is on the mend. Takesha called me yesterday letting me know that her mom was in the hospital. So, you know, I hope that's going well. I hope things are turning around for your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, what I've already shared with you about Lorraine has been many things that she's done in her personal and professional life. So now I'd like to talk with you or to share with you some of the spaces and accountabilities Lorraine has served in the International Black Summit. She was the international administrator early on. She has been the international coordinator. She was an enfoldment manager and for at least 10 years a facilitator of the conversation, and all of those years she's been a participant. Additionally, Lorraine hosted many summer chairs at her home in New York, and the first coordinating committee retreat was held at Lorraine's home in Brooklyn so that that team could get in relationship. Now, you had told me something else that you had to, the historian. You have been keeping track of the papers and the books and all of the alignments and things that we had made over the years. So I know there's probably something I'm forgetting, but here's the point that I want to get. For me, Lorraine, I remember Lorraine for her hijinks at the planning body meetings. This girl would stir up some stuff like the Pretty Feet contest, you know, to make the planning body meetings more fun and to liven them up. So that's what I recall and I remember and appreciate you for.
Now, that was so much fun. We had everyone take off their shoes and they had
and socks.
It was the pretty feet and the pretty legs.
I missed that part.
And, yeah, we had everyone had to take off their shoes and socks and show their feet. So whoever had the prettiest feet and also the prettiest legs. And I think, did Perry Parks win the Pretty Legs?
I believe so.
And I won the best manicure, pedicure. And I forgot who actually won the prettiest feet. But it was just so much fun. In a serious meeting, a profound meeting, it was just like an opening. Let's have some fun. So however that happened, it happened.
And Perry does have beautiful legs.
Yes, he does. I love Perry. Shout out to Perry.
So, Lorraine, your first summit was when?
My first summit was in 1992 in Highland Park, the Highland Park, Michigan summit.
And so was mine.
And that summit, if some folks remember, was called the Love Summit. That summit was called the Spirit Summit, the summit that, you know, spirit showed up powerfully in the room. So that was my summit, the International Black Summit in Highland Park, Michigan.
Yes, I remember. That was my first summit also.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember afterwards people gave it a lot of names. Isn't that the summit where the kings and queens
absolutely
showed up? And yeah. I remember Robin Randolph afterwards saying how she sensed saw the ancestors, you know, all around the room. So it was very powerful for many people.
Mm.
I know it was for me, but we're interviewing you. So talk a bit more about that.
Well, this summit was very interesting because at the time I was participating at Landmark Education Corporation, and we had a group called the PADE Group, the People of African Descent Empowerment Group. In New York. And a lot of my friends were a part of that group, and we had meetings, and we were a leadership group within the Landmark. And they had already had the first summit, and I think I was invited to the first summit. I don't remember. But I do remember some of my friends, Angela Carson, Rosa Waldron, Byron Johns, Alubide, they were all saying, Lorraine, come to the summit, come to the summit. And who I was back then was a no. Okay? So they were saying, come, and I was like, no, I'm not interested. And then I remember once Rosa came to me, and she said, Lorraine, come to the summit. And I said, why should I come to the summit? She said, it's a whole weekend, and you'll be in the room with all of these black people from all over the U.S. I said, you want me to sit in a room for an entire weekend with a bunch of black people? No. And then Byron Johns called me one morning, and it was just a few days before the summit, and he said, Lorraine, I want to invite you to come to the summit. And I said, no, I'm not interested. And Byron, if anyone knows Byron Johns, he can be very persistent. So he just kept asking me and engaging me and talking to me, and I still said no. And I remember saying to him, look, Byron, if you keep asking me about this, I'm just going to stop talking to you, period. So my answer is no, and I don't want you to, you know, bother me anymore.
And how did Byron take that? Because I know Byron. Byron lives here in Chicago now.
And he said, I got it. I got the phone. And so it was really interesting. As soon as he hung up, I just felt this profound sadness. And I at the time I had my pride, so I didn't have the guts to call him back and say, you know, yeah, I do want to come. But I just said, oh, God, please let him call me back. Let him call me back. I was, like, praying, let him call me back. And he called me back.
Wow.
And he said, okay, Lorraine, like, this is how it is. I'm going to ask you one more time. And I said, well, okay, I'll come. And Byron, he was one of the people who organized this bus to actually ride to Highland Park, Michigan, from New York. And that was an experience in itself, the bus ride. But just to fast forward a little bit, I was still sort of in a mode of, what is this? You know, why should I come to this? And, you know, I just felt a little bit uncomfortable about the whole thing. And then I remember Friday walking into the room, and one of my dear friends who I love dearly, Conrad Neblett, he went to that summit also. So I felt a little bit better because I said, oh, I could just have fun with Conrad. And we were sitting next to each other. And we sat in the room, and then I began to just look around. And I just saw all of these black people. I mean, short ones, tall ones, skinny ones, fat ones, light ones, dark ones, like all of these black people. And they were so beautiful. And I just started, you know, tears just came to my eyes. I just started crying and just looking around like, wow. And then the facilitators came on the stage who were like the OGs, the five, Catherine, Kenny, Perry, Anthony, and Robin.
Right.
And they were so powerful, like in their expression and their way of being. And I was just like, wow. So I just tell people literally, and some people may not know, remember me because I've changed so much since then, but if you were at the Highland Park Summit, the woman who was sitting in the middle of the room crying for 3 days and three nights, that was me. I cried from Friday to Sunday. And even when I went back to the hotel room at night and people were like, oh, let's go out, let's party, I couldn't even go out. I was in bed crying because I was so moved by who we are.
I understand. I completely understand. Like I said, you know, that was my first summit too. And many people don't remember me being there because I rarely said a thing. Mm. And you know me now, people wish that I would shut up. But it was like I couldn't hide.
And you know, Lenore, that summit, I think, because I've over the years I really sort of looked to say what was going on, like what happened at that summit. And I feel that in that summit was a really the beginning of a profound healing for me. And just the healing in terms of acknowledging myself as a person of black African descent, acknowledging black men, black women, black children, like who we are. And I remember in that summit, this beautiful black man stood up, and I'm not going to say any names because it's a, you know, he stood up and he was just crying. And he was saying how he, all his life, he just wanted his mom to just say that she loved him.
Mm.
And I was so moved by that because I always saw black men as, like, strong and invincible and, you know, and to see a big, huge black man like that cry. I mean, and he was doing, like, Oprah say, the ugly cry. He was crying, okay? And I looked at him, and I was like, okay, this is like a human being with feelings who's vulnerable. And I just cried with him, you know? And there's so many things happened in that summit. And, you know, everyone who stood up and shared, and, I mean, we were laughing, we were crying, we were singing, we were dancing, we were shouting. And I think we had church on Sunday, and
yes,
the whole thing was just so rich. And I think for me, the healing also was being in black community, all
yes.
of black community, and feeling completely and totally safe
yes.
and taken care of. Like there was nothing that was going to happen to anyone in that space.
Yes.
So that was my experience. And so from that time on, I wanted to come to every summit, You know, I was enrolling other people in coming to. So I went from a no to a, you know, being the International Black Summit Enfoldment Manager, Administrator. I was a coordinator for 3 years.
Right.
In a row. And a good part of my life in the last few years, not recent years, but when I was involved actively in the summit, you know, my life was the summit, period.
Yes.
And many of the things that I've learned and the people who I met are lifelong friends and lifelong learnings. And the people who I've met in the summit have been just major friends. Lenar, you're one of them, and I can mention several others. And I think one thing I tell people about the summit also, once you go to a summit, you have connections worldwide.
Yes.
So I have connections worldwide out of my participation in the International Black Summit, like deep connections. So
you have like pretty much given this great tapestry of, you know, your experience at that first summit of emotions and things. And I just like to point out a couple of things about the International Black Summit. One, you can visit us at our website at www.blacksummit.org to get more information. For those of you who are listening and would like to join in this conversation with Lorraine, the number is 646-716-9827. I'd also like to I was going to point out something else, but that's good enough for right now. That the chat is open for those of you who are online and you might have tried to get into the chat previous. The chat is open, so you can text your messages. And now we're back to conversation with Lorraine. So, Lorraine, can you, like, really hone in on one, and you've given a lot of feelings from that first summit. But can you hone in on one thing? You said healing. Can you speak more about maybe what was going on in your life that healing showed up?
I don't know if there was anything in particular, like some situation or thing like that I was experiencing in my life. Mm-hmm. It was just who I was at that time. I've always been a very outgoing person. I've always been a curious person.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was nothing wrong. And
right.
I think that I had some limiting beliefs about people of black African descent, about black people. And at the time, actually it was, at the time I was working in semi-corporate America. I was working in an environment where I was the only one that
right.
being a black person mm-hmm. and watching a lot of news. And I think one of the things I remember is, like, watching the news so much, I began, and it was just, it was so deep how this could easily happen. I started thinking, seeing a lot of black men on the news in negative situations,
mm-hmm.
I honestly started, like, feeling that way about some of the black men. You know?
Wow.
But I wasn't conscious of it. But in the background in my mind, I had this conversation going on about black men that was something wrong, like they were mean, they were bad, they were dangerous, you know?
Yes.
And I wasn't conscious of having that conversation, but I was conscious of, like, not feeling like I was around enough of people, black people. And I remember I was living in New York at the time. When I first moved to New York, I was in Long Island. I lived on Long Island.
Okay.
And I was missing black people so much that I would go to Harlem. I would just take day trips into Harlem. And
wow.
I started going to the National Black Theater in Harlem. And that's where I first really got into this conversation about transformation, because I met Ade Faison and Claudette Faison, and I worked a lot as a volunteer with New York Youth at Risk. And then I took TIER, the Technology of Soul. And then they said, oh, Lorraine, the next thing you have to do is the forum. And so I did the Landmark Forum, all of these courses that, you know, just open you up, open you up, open you up. And in the summit, we always talk about the conversation that's in the forefront, but we also like to dig deeper and say, like, what are the conversations or the thoughts, ideas, assessments that are going on inside of you that you don't even realize that they're happening. And so that was one of the ones for me. So when I saw that brother stand up, that shifted that. When I saw this young boy stand up, and he talked about how he wanted acknowledgement from his mother. You know, he just wanted her to say something positive to him when he came in the room instead of yelling and screaming and, you know, where's your homework and why didn't you do this and why are you dressed like that? And, you know, this conversation that young people have sometimes with parents. And he got up and expressed it, and I just saw the pain in how he was holding his body even.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in the room got it, and his mother was listening, and I think it took a day or so. But people in the room were acknowledging him and, you know, loving him. And then at some point, his mom stood up, and she acknowledged that boy in front of the whole entire room. She talked about how much she loved him. She talked about how much he was a straight-A student and how she was so proud of him. And the boy stood up. And I swear to you, a light, he was, if you could ever say that you could see a light coming from someone, I saw a light coming from that boy. And I could see, if I could see his body straighten up and realign itself. It's like his mind got straight. And I'm just crying, you know. I couldn't say anything. I'm just crying. But
for
I'm
the 3 days,
there,
right.
I'm just sitting there watching that boy's spine straighten up. And I was just so moved by that. And so it was just so many different things, like over and over again, that happened in that summit that it just sort of created a shift where I could, like, take off whatever blinders I had on and just say, yes, I'm so proud to be of Black African descent. It's not saying that I don't love all people or have regard for other people, but I think it's something that we bring that's so powerful. And one of the things always in every summit that I've ever experienced, and this has been acknowledged so much, that when we show up in a space, spirit is going to show up.
Absolutely.
And that's what's happening every summit. When we're engaged in the conversation, when we're, you know, looking out for each other, when we're seeing. And so that's in direct contrast to some of the things we see in the media and on TV about who we are. You know, that you have 300, 500 Black people in a room for an entire weekend, and many people walk in the room and say, oh, my goodness, this space is so loving. Oh, my goodness, I've never been around so many positive Black people at one time. You know, people have said this to me throughout the years I've invited to the summit, and they said, oh, my goodness, Lorraine, you know, the space just felt so good. It was so powerful, and everybody was smiling, and everyone was greeting me, and they were being nice to me, you know? So all of those ways of being that we think that, oh, this is how we are with each other, and, yeah, you know, looking at her, you know, no. That's not who we are. Maybe that's an aspect of ourselves, but then there's another alternative. And I think in the summit, the space is, you know, calling us to choose to just love each other and, you know, be in conversation with each other and look to see all of the questions we engage every year in the summit. You know, looking to see, like, who are we in the matter of who we are and what we bring and what we contribute to the world.
I'm glad you said that about the questions that we engage in the summit, because the question for that summit was, what must I transform within myself in order to transform the world? So as I reflect back on the things that you've said in this conversation about, you know, that summit experience for you, I can see that, you know, that's what with the energy in the room. It was about what is it for me to transform within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, like the child that stood up and said, look, you know, I want to be acknowledged to transform this hurt and pain. And then the mom who stood up and gave that acknowledgement, you know, who was transforming from maybe not being present to, you know, to that and giving that, you know, and the guy who stood up and was crying and saying, you know, that that's what he wanted was to be loved and embraced. Like, they were transforming those spaces. And as I was listening, I was like, wow, that's what happened with Lorraine, you know, that transformation.
Exactly.
And you know, as you were saying about the 200 to 300 or 400, I think there were between 200 and 300 people at that particular summit. And I one of the things that has occurred for me in the summit is, and especially that one, that was my first experience of it, being in a room of so many powerful black people, people of black African descent, and I knew that were I to stand up and tell a lie, that they would know, it would be known. That's what I was saying about, I was aware that I could not hide in that room, which is why I didn't say anything, because I knew if I opened my mouth, you know, it was going to be all over with. All of my stuff was going to be hanging out. I was like, oh, no, I'm not saying a word. Because there is a difference, because these are people, you know, from all across the U.S. and from Africa, because Kimani was there that year, I think. And so we have similar backgrounds. We have similar experiences. So they'll know. And that was one of the things that I could get away with in other transformational groups where I was the one. You know, or one of the handful. I could say whatever. You know, and, you know, I would be so applauded. I don't know if you've had that experience in other groups where you're the one or one of a handful in, you know, in a transformational. You know, because like you said, our shares are very powerful. Because, I don't know, something for me, I'm like, I'm going to get what I came here to get. I'm going to move, shift this stuff. We have a caller. I'm going to call out the first few six numbers of your phone number. If you want to share, please give us your name and give us your comment. Otherwise, I will put you back on mute. So caller 908-757, if you'd like to make
That's
a comment.
Charlie.
Pardon me? Please give your name.
Hi, this is Barbara Gadabeku.
Oh,
I'm
Barbara, okay.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling in to say hello to Lorraine.
Hi, Barbara.
I love you. Because I have not seen you for a long time or heard you play, so it's really good. I have, sorry, I have a conference call at 8:30, so I'm just coming in to just say hello, and so happy to be on IBS Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Barbara.
Bye, Barbara. Okay, we have another caller who... and I am going to, as again, call out the first six numbers. If there's a comment that you like to make or you want to join in the conversation, please acknowledge yourself. And we are with caller 973573. Would you like to introduce yourself and join in the conversation?
Hi, this is Jackie Jones.
Jackie!
Hi, Jackie.
Hello. Hi, Lorraine. Hi, Lenar.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey.
I just wanted to say hi. I'm actually in a meeting with like a landmark kind of group meeting, but I just wanted to take a moment to say hello because I knew you were going to be on the radio at this time, and I'm going to have to download the show because I haven't heard the first part. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to hear the rest, but I wanted to just let you know I'm listening. I'll be listening when I download it, and just to say hello to you guys.
Hello.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jackie, because I know you're a listener of both my show and the show, so it's good to hear your voice. I usually see you in the chat room.
Right.
Well, one thing, Jackie Jones calling in reminded me of, in my experience of the years that I participated in the summit, you know, when you have that many people in the room, there's so much talent there. So you have so much talent. And in the summit, Jackie Jones, Conrad Neblett, Debo Davis, they've often shared their talent of song.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, you talk about phenomenal soul jazz performers. Phenomenal. And so I just give a shout out to them, and just in my memories and that I treasure from the summit, I just remember the songs and the singing and the that whole space that was so beautiful. And I think in 1992, did they sing I Release and I Let Go in 1991, the first summit?
I wasn't at that summit, and I don't know. So maybe someone who's listening who was at the first summit will call in and, you know, give us that information.
Well, I know it was sang in 1992, and we sang that every year. But music is also a really profound part of the International Black Summit. And sometimes we're dancing to the music, sometimes we're singing together, and sometimes we're listening to those people who have such profound talent who stand up and share it with us.
And Jackie's one of those people.
Yes, she is.
Well, Jackie, since you said you had to go, I put you on mute, and so we'll look forward to hearing from you the next time. So, Lorraine, as we were just speaking with Jackie, I was looking through the notes that I have here for you. You, in addition to attending the summit, and that's what you shared with us, you're attending there,
mm-hmm.
In addition to enrolling people to come to the summit, you took on different accountabilities,
mm-hmm.
the behind-the-scenes work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, speak a little bit about why you did that or what difference that made in your life taking on those accountabilities, participating in them.
Well, also, I remember when I went to the first summit in 1992, there's a woman named Sheila James.
Yes. I love her.
And Sheila is just very awesome and eloquent and powerful. I just remember her. She was the enrollment manager. And I remember her walking up the aisles of the summit. And she was saying to people, okay, I want your registration for next year. You know, like that. Yeah, I want it, and I want it now. And I was like, who is she? And she's all up in your face. And, I know you want to come. I know you're interested. And, yeah, now give me your registration and your money. And I was like, oh, my goodness. But she was so, she appeared so powerful and so certain and so clear about who she was in that position. And I remember sitting there and said, oh, wow, I want to be like that. You know?
Yeah.
I want to be able to just walk up that aisle like that and say, give it to me. And that was just a memory that I had. And I don't know about other people, but, you know, at that time, I was not so sure of myself and, you know, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to stand up and volunteer for something. Oh, my God, they might actually expect me to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And then thinking, like, whoa, what it takes to do something like this, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like so much. And it's often that I would look out there and say, wow, that person is so powerful. I couldn't do that. Or, you know, even the facilitators, all of that. But at some point, and I don't remember when I was became the coordinator of the International Black Summit, but I know there's this process we go through called alignment.
Yes.
And everyone's in a planning kind of meeting, and we're sitting there, and we ask the question, so who is the coordinator for this next upcoming International Black Summit? And there's usually silence in the room, and people kind of look around, and some people have an idea of who it might be and all of that. And usually, in my experience, the person who it is like wanting to go to the bathroom. They're like, okay, how can I get out of this room, and how can I get out of it fast? And what I do know is, in my experience, that person is selected by God and selected by spirit. And it's like nothing you could do. You could stay in the bathroom all day and all night. You could run, but you can't hide. If it's you, it's you. And so for some years, it was me. And I feel that standing up and taking on that accountability, I really learned who I was as a leader. I also was groomed as a leader. And I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and then there were times where it was a lot of struggle because in the summit, you know, at that time when you took on an accountability, basically whoever is in leadership or the leadership body, you follow the direction of the body.
Right.
Of all of the participants in the leadership body. So it's not like I come up with a plan and tell them what it is. The body determines, you know, what the plan is, and then they tell the leadership, you know, that now we would like for you to, this is the plan we want you to enact. And so
and that's one of the things that I have always loved about the summit.
Yes.
That it is not a top-down. It is really the body saying this is what we want, and the leadership carries it out.
And another thing I noticed about being in a leadership role in the summit, sometimes people would come, you know, like me, I had many years of experience organizing and planning activities and programs because I worked in higher ed, you know, and I was an activities director and student life director. And many people come with specific talents. And sometimes when we come, it was just like, I know how to do this.
Right.
And sometimes all that you know has nothing to do with what's being called for.
Called for from you.
From you in that particular space, in that particular summit.
I'm aware. I'm well aware because I've had, you know, as you know, held different accountabilities. And it doesn't matter if you think you know everything about all there is to know about finance or technology or administration, you know, note-taking, communicating, leadership. It doesn't matter. You can come with all the skills and a satchel full, a backup.
And it's not to say that people who have had specific talents haven't used those in their accountability, but that's not the thing that's in the forefront. And for me, the thing that was in the forefront was what was God saying about what you needed to do in that particular moment, in that particular space, for that particular summit.
Right. What is life asking you to provide?
Exactly. And so that, and I think that's one thing about the summit that's unique also. Because I participated in many organizations and many leadership groups, and it's very linear, you know, and it's very in the head. But I found in the summit it was very nonlinear, and it was very spiritual in that we would sit in the room in silence sometimes and say, like, what, you know, what is Spirit saying to us that we need to do about this particular issue or this particular problem? And who can hear what Spirit is saying?
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Let's get silent. And some people would talk, and, you know, you would get that that was their, them.
Right.
That was an aspect of them, but it wasn't Spirit. But when we when someone spoke and we were, and it was Spirit, there was calm, it was clarity. It was very clear.
Yes.
You know?
And how it occurred for me is something went clunk.
Exactly.
Inside me.
Right.
Yeah.
So it could be anything about, you know, should we reimburse these people for this thing that they did and didn't ask first? Or it could be where are we going to hold this event, and choosing the hotel and choosing the community or even choosing where the summit would be, all of those kinds of things. You know, what do we need to look at in terms of having this thing unfold and having us be able to have this conversation in a place where it was being called to be had at that moment.
And you spoke about alignment, and as we've been meeting over the years, what we've come to recently is that alignment is an isness, like alignment is present, and what there is for us to do is to, you know, get that we are either present or not present to the alignment, because there is an alignment present. And are we, you know, in line with it? Are we present to it, whatever it is?
And how I also would say that, you know, just to bring it, so for some people who may have never even been to the summit, that in your life, you know, no matter what issue or situation you're dealing with, there is an alignment.
Right.
You know, there is an answer. There is, like, a way that it is.
Right.
And given the circumstance, you might not be present to that right now. And
Or I might be, and I could be resisting it, saying, this doesn't make sense, I don't want to do that, how can I do that? All of those things may occur. And that has nothing to do with that is so. This is what it is.
Exactly. And sometimes it may be, you know, spirit may be asking you to go a certain direction or a certain way, and you're resisting, like, no, that's not it. And you could do it kicking and screaming, or you could just do it. And one thing I learned in Islam is just do it. Because when those people, when they were being called to step into a leadership accountability, and they would go to the bathroom, or, you know, they're going to go shopping, and we would be in that room just like struggling and arguing and fussing and looking and seeking and seeking and seeking. Then this person come back from the bathroom. They sit down. They be sipping their little soda that they bought from whatever store they went to. And then they become present that they're the one. And then they stand up, and it's me! They're, like, crying and everything. And I'm like, why didn't they come here 25 hours ago? But then, you know, they came when they came, and all of that was a part of the process, too.
Right. And that was a clue to us as we went through over the years that if there was a lot of struggle and effort, that wasn't it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, if it was struggle. So if there's anything where it's struggle and effort, that's not it. And I've learned to use some of those things in my life, too. That's not it.
Yeah. Which brings me to facilitator body. So we've spoken a bit about, you know, the accountabilities. But you also put yourself into the facilitator body. So speak some about that.
Well, for me, the facilitator body, how it occurred for me, is in the summit we have what we call distinctions. And basically they are tools, they are guidelines, they are distinctions that anyone can use, yeah, sort of as a screen, as a filter to look at your life from and your life situations from. And when you are in the facilitator body, for me, it's the agreement that I'm going to be in an exploration, in an inquiry of those distinctions and use them in my life.
For a year.
At the time it was 1 year.
Right.
And
we take it on year to year.
Right. And I feel that for me, at a certain point, after participating in the summit so many years, the distinctions just became a part of my life.
I agree. Mine too.
You know, I could think of some like trigger. Anytime and we got trigger in Kenya. You know,
yes,
when you're upset about something, when something happens and you feel like there's an energy and you kind of look like and you have a judgment about it, you know, that's something that triggers you.
Yes.
And then anytime there's a trigger, it's an opportunity for you to look at yourself and say, what is it in me that is having this occur? You know, or what is life saying to me that I'm all up in knots about this thing? And so that was one of the, you know, one of my favorite distinctions. That's been very great because you can see that when something happens, you don't necessarily have to automatically react to that thing out there.
Right.
You could look over here and say, okay, what am I doing to cause this? Or who am I being that's causing this? Or what is this having me look at? And, you know, my favorite, I know, Lenar, your favorite distinction that you've been really delving into has been the distinction of no out there.
Out there, right.
And for me, it's the distinction of clearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just clearing. And I think I'm so much in that distinction, I can't even explain it. Because I feel like I have adopted that clearing as like my life is a clearing, you know what shows up in my life. Anything that shows up in my space in my life is an opportunity for me to just clear and to, you know, get clear about who I am and to clear about what is God saying to me in my life.
Right.
So that was one of mine. But that was the practice in the facilitator body. And for many years, we would be on conference calls. I mean, I know I was on conference calls every Monday or every Wednesday for 3 years in a row, you know, and rarely missed a call.
Exactly. Look forward to the calls because they were an opportunity to clear, which,
right.
You know, for those listening, how clearing occurs for me, it was an opportunity for me to do a reality check,
mm-hmm.
you know, to come outside of my head, you know, to have and be in conversation with others of like mind who might see a different perspective
mm-hmm.
on what was going on for me, who might be able to look at, because they weren't involved in the mix
mm-hmm.
of whatever it was. So that is one that I truly enjoyed.
Right. And we talked, and I know that we talked with excitement about the summit and everything that it was, and the summit wasn't always easy to participate in. I mean, as a leader, because people will call you on your stuff and not be embarrassed or scared to do it. And so sometimes being in a leadership role, you would stand in a room of 300 people and all of them are asking you questions, and they want to know the answer now.
And that was the great joy, and is the great joy of the summit for me, because that is the agreement in my
mm-hmm.
world. Call me on my stuff, because I'm going to call you on yours. It is that implicit agreement that's
mm-hmm.
going on there.
And at the time, it didn't look like a contribution.
Most of the time,
I want to see receipts, and I want to see accountability, and I want to know why you did this, and I want to, and you're like, you know what? This is a volunteer position.
And that is something we haven't said. Like, the International Black Summit is all volunteer by people of Black African descent. It was imagined by people of Black African descent. It was created. It was manifested by them. It is sourced by them. We manage it. We serve it. It is truly, someone like Claudette Romeo said, this is given by the design of Black people,
mm-hmm.
and
so,
it truly is.
So, I mean, at the time being in different leadership roles, and, you know, there were moments when it was wonderful. There were moments when it was just like everything that you knew yourself to be was called into question. And at the time, it didn't seem like a contribution, as I said. But looking
right.
back, I could see that was some really powerful training in just shaping me as a leader. And as someone who I can stand in the midst of a storm, honey.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
You know, I can stand in the midst of a storm, and I can answer the questions, and I can be with it. And sometimes you don't know why you're going through a certain thing. You don't
yes.
know why. But all of it, I feel, the people who have taken on those accountabilities, I just acknowledge all of the people who've been the enrollment managers and coordinators and facilitators and who have taken on, and people today who are in that leadership body, I acknowledge you, and just for allowing yourself to be used in that way, because I say that it's for the International Black Summit, it's for your life, and it's for the transformation of the world, because once you have those skills and that training, it's like a part of you. So everywhere you go, it's an opportunity to be in those distinctions and to be the leader and whatever it is that you've been trained to be. So that's what I see.
And I see we have another person that's joined us. Caller 850-521, if you'd like to come on and give us your name, and if you have a comment that you'd like to share, you're welcome.
Oh, no, I'm...
You're Lorraine's friend?
This is Amy. And I'm friends with Lorraine, and I'm just listening in.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi, Amy, girl.
Hey.
It's good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too. I'm just listening in.
Okay, great. So.
And I guess Amy reminds me, one of the things that I've gained out of my participation in the summit is
yes.
I have just a whole lot of strong friendships.
Yes.
And I think that in the past, the walls that I would put up, you know, in between me and just being a friend and being intimate and just expressing my love for people were removed. And so, and sometimes I'm shocked because I think I take for granted all of the friends and relationships I have around the world. And people say, Lorraine, you have friends who would do that for you, or you have friends there, you have friends, yeah, you know. And it just opened me up to people and opened me up. It's the abundance of the possibility of friendships and relationships. And they're on different levels and different scales, but they are there. I know there's people in some, I could call at any time, even if I ain't talked to them in 3 years, I could call them and their relationship is there because we've shared this profound experience called International Black Summit. I could call them now and they'll be like, Lorraine, and I could just talk to them.
Like people have been on this show tonight. They've been calling, saying those very things. So, Lorraine, you've got about 9 minutes or so, and I want to just mention to our listeners that these days you are attending the University of Santa Monica, completing coursework for your master's in spiritual psychology. And we talk about it all the time, so I'd like to know, like, what parallels, if any, do you see in what you're learning at USM and the International Black Summit?
Well, yes, we do talk about this all the time. And the University of Santa Monica is really on the cutting edge of just looking at transformational work and what it means to be a human being and what it means to be the best and highest expression of who you are as a human being. And I think the summit is similarly in that same conversation. What is it for you to be the highest expression of who you are as a person of Black African descent and as a human being?
Amen.
And many, many, you have many books out there and many workshops out there and programs that are all in the same conversation, you know, looking at, you know, who we are as human beings and how can we transform the world. And I think the summit and the University of Santa Monica, we look at it from a space of being in the loving, you know, even the Bible says love one another.
Yeah.
And so when we cut down like all of those distinctions and we reduce it all to what is the main point is to love one another. This is my interpretation. Many people might have another interpretation. And what I'm seeing in being in the University of Santa Monica is it was a similar training in the summit. And so what the summit is extremely valuable. So no matter what someone may be going through, if it's incest, if it's drug addiction, if it's, you know, not being able to get through on your job, if it's like wanting to have a family that's, you know, expressive and loving towards each other, you can use those distinctions in your life to move towards the highest expression of you.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's a lot of different ways that it can be expressed and said, but I think the declaration says that when the Declaration of the International Black Summit says, we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. And our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance,
responsibility,
unity, and integrity with the possibility of being.
And we stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth.
We declare
that our community manifests
itself
in the world
as
a contribution
in
the transformation
of
the universe.
So I see that as all that is good and true and wonderful about who we are as people of Black African descent, the International Black Summit, that's the conversation that we're in.
Absolutely. Amen. And I'm, you know, just so thrilled that I, you know, am involved in it, was there in that 1992 summit in Highland Park that you attended.
Yes.
And that, you know, we have become friends. because, you know, and Lorraine and our relationship is a testament to the distinctions of the International Black
That's
Summit.
That's true, because I couldn't stand her when I first, I was like, oh, my God, they're so right. Good. So I'm sick of that woman. When she said, I was so triggered, honey. Oh, my goodness. I was like, oh, God, oh, here she comes again. Is she going to be there?
Exactly. You know? Lorraine was my mirror. I just could not stand it. It's like,
you
oh, my God,
me?
Is she going to be there? Oh, Lord, is she going to be walking around, taking command of the space? I mean, really.
And now it's just like I talk to Lenar just about every day.
Every day, pretty much.
And
yeah.
She's a good friend and a coach and a, you know, just wonderful person to have. She's very generous with her knowledge and her information and her wisdom, as you can see just from this show and her other Know Out There show. Just an awesome human being.
Well, thank you, Lorraine. I appreciate it. Again, I'd like to remind our listeners that if you'd like more information about the International Black Summit, please visit our website at www.blacksummit.org. I already opened the window. I'd like to just acknowledge all of our guests in the chat room. You know, I thank you for listening. Jackie and Barbara and Amy, it was great to, you know, to have you on the show. I'd like to give a shout-out right now to Conrad Neblett. His, Auntie Nesta passed away on the 11th of January. She was 95. And he had been her caretaker for the past 3 years. Her services were this past Thursday. Mm-hmm. Just want you to know, Puddinhead, Conrad, that my, you know, my wishes are with you. You're in my prayers.
We love you,
definitely,
Conrad.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Miss Lorraine, we have about 2 or 3 minutes remaining. What more would we like to say about the International Black Summit or share?
Well, I'll just start where I began. I want
All right.
anyone who could hear my voice, who you've been to a summit that I've attended, I thank you for your contribution, because I'm very clear that if you were in the room, you made a difference in the conversation and you made a difference in my life, because it's a group, it's a communal conversation. So I thank you for the difference you made in my life. For all those people who may come to the International Black Summit in the future, I just want you to know that when you walk in the room, you're top shelf. When you walk in the room, you're cream of the crop. When you walk in the room, you are all of that, because that is the space that you are, and that's the space of the International Black Summit. When the folks walk in the room, you're walking into a loving space. And that's what I have to say, Ms. Lenar.
And I thank you for that. I want to also remind our listeners that the 18th Annual International Black Summit is being held the weekend of July 31st through August 3rd in Anguilla, British West Indies. Again, if you'd like more information, visit our website at www.blacksummit.org. All the information is there. Lorraine, it has been a fabulous hour with you on the show. I'm glad I got to share my friend with our listeners. And I think there are some people in the International Black Summit who may not know all of those things that you've shared this evening. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you have the opportunity to do that. I look forward to our upcoming show. Next one is February 3rd. Where John Thomas will be delving into one of the distinctions of the summit. I don't know which one. He likes to call that show The Secrets of the Summit. Again, that's February 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern. So I look forward to your joining us then. Everyone, have a fabulous, fabulous week. Lorraine, we have a few seconds. Is there anything you'd like to say more? Sign us off here.
And I acknowledge you, Lenar, because over the years that I've known you in the summit, you've always been giving and contributing and just sharing what you know and sharing what you have in many different areas. And so I thank you for, you know, all that you have done in the summit and all that you've contributed to my life. So thank you.
You are quite welcome. You are quite welcome. Again, everyone, have a great week. www.blacksummit.org. The next show was Sunday, February 3rd, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, like Lorraine said, let's everybody love one another. Okay, Lorraine.
That's
Thank
it.
You very much.
Great.
We have 4 seconds and we'll be off the air. Two.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. That's a wrap. Okay.